We're calling it the Big Hope story. It's really big.
It's huge.
It's a huge story full of redemption, forgiveness, all kinds of great stuff.
Transformation.
And the thing I know, it's going to encourage you.
Yes, no matter what you're going through right now, whatever you've been through, I think there is something you're going to find yourself relating to in a big way in this Big Hope story about Michael and Monty and Meadows Church. The story begins with Monty and his own journey that eventually led him to the Omaha area from Sioux Falls.
So first of all, Monty, tell us how you became a Christian.
So I grew up going to church, but, you know, like many people, after I went to college, I fell away for many, many years. And ultimately, I got married, had kids. But what led me back to the church is a struggle, an addiction, a drug addiction that took over my life. One day it was too much and I couldn't do it anymore. And I went and told my wife what was going on and went to rehab, and the misery continued for another year. And then I went to rehab again. And in the second rehab, man, it was crazy. I still wanted to use after I got out. It was just, it's just so insane to even say this out loud.
But such a hold on your life.
Addiction, it'll turn you into somebody you're not. And after that second rehab, my wife and I said, we need to go to the church. We need to go to a church. And so we went to a church in Sioux Falls called Celebrate Church. And everything started to change. I mean, I started to have this experience of people loving me and welcoming me. And I was still a wreck, still wanted to do things I shouldn't do. And there was a day where, and I'll never forget it, it was during the service, and there was a bigger church, 800 people probably in the room, and we were towards the back, and they were showing these pictures of Passion of the Christ, that movie. And I remember thinking, I cannot believe that he would do that for me, that he would go through that for me. And I felt such this sense of worthlessness. And I said, I didn't audibly hear it. What I heard was, you know, Monty, I did it for you, and and if you were the only one here, I'd do it again. And at that moment, I stood up, and my wife's like, my God, sit down, what are you doing? You know, she's wondering, what's my crazy husband going to do now? And I stood up, and I said audibly out loud, I said, I'll give my life to this. And I said it twice, and I had no clue what it meant. I mean, absolutely no idea what I was saying. And then I sat back down, and long story short, the next day I called the church. I said, something's going on. And that was really probably my conversion moment, I would say, probably, you know. And, I didn't know what I was supposed to do, you know, pack my bags, move to Africa, you know, missionary, whatever. And they're like, hey, what about serving in the church? And I'm like, I said, what do you need? And they said, well, you know, kids ministry is are important ministry to us. And I said, I love kids. And they hooked me up with elementary kids. And I served in that ministry for 3 years. I don't think I missed a weekend of serving. And I was just so desperate to live a new life. So I was excited about this body of Christ, and I was learning about what it really means to be the church. And, you know, I was sober. It was hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was tremendously hard, but I was in a group, and I was getting into the Word of God for the first time ever in my life. And after 3 years, they sat me down, the church did, and said, we want to meet with you. And they're like, we are opening a campus across town, and we want you to consider coming on to be our children's director of that campus. And I said, like, you'd pay me? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, so I'd get paid to do what I already love doing. And it was funny because right away I'm like, yes, this is amazing. I can't believe this is happening. I ran home and I said to Jody, my wife, you're not going to believe what happened. The church offered me a position at the new campus they're launching across town. And I'm like, I know it's right and we're going to do it. And my wife, she's always kind of pulling back the reins. Okay, what's my husband? No, he's, you know. And she's like, okay, honey, that's great. But okay, but is it full time? I said, yeah, I think it is. We really didn't talk about that.
Are they going to pay you?
Yeah. Are you going to get paid? I said, yep, they said I'm going to get paid. She goes, well, how much? I said, I have no idea. She goes, what are the hours? I have no idea. Any benefits? I have no idea. You know, and she's like, oh my gosh. But ultimately, that is what happened. And I became this director of kids ministry at this campus across town. And the long story short, after less than a year, they asked me to be the campus pastor. I ended up being the campus pastor of this campus, of this large church in town, going to school full time at the same time at Oklahoma Wesleyan. It was insane. And the campus was growing and growing. I mean, it was went from zero to, in the next few years, to like 900.
You are seeing huge success. You're the pastor of the new location of the church in Sioux Falls. Why did you then decide to move everything to Omaha?
That's a very good question.
You left it all.
I did. I never dreamed I would. My pastor did ask me, you know, what do you think about planting a church? And I'm like, I don't even know what that means, for one thing. But no, I mean, we're from the Sioux Falls area. We have tons of friends, tons of family. That's all of our roots are there.
You're rooted, man. This is your home.
And there's so much life change that is happening. it would make zero sense. So I told my pastor, I said, now, I said, I will help equip and raise up leaders, and we'll send them out and we'll bless them.
Right.
And he didn't really balk at that. He knew that God was doing some great things at the campus. But I tell you, as things continually shift in my heart, I felt the pull that we're supposed to be doing it. God, through a series of conversations, through a lot of prayer, and through a lot of kicking and screaming on my part, we ended up planting a church here.
How did you know it was God, that God was in it?
I started just casting vision, telling some of my leaders at the campus. I'm like, hey, we believe God is calling us to start a church from scratch in Omaha, Nebraska, or in the Omaha area. And I went to key leaders, prayed about it, and I said, I want you to pray about joining. I mean, the church blessed that. They said, hey, if you want to ask people in the church, if they're called to come with you, you can do that. And I started doing that, and people start saying yes.
Wow.
I remember our worship leader. I sat down with him, and if I was rooted in Sioux Falls, it was nothing compared to what he was rooted in Sioux Falls. He's probably listening to this, but that's okay. He's a mama's boy, and I thought he right away he said, nah, we're good. We'll pray, but, you know, I'm like, okay, they're not. And a month later, he came back and sat down in my office, and he said, we'll do it.
Whoa.
And when he said yes, and others had already said yes, I remember thinking, okay, now I'm freaking out. Because I ran home to Jody. I'm like, Jody,
yeah,
people are saying yes.
This is happening.
You know, and I told him, I can't pay you, right? you're not getting paid to do this. And because he was full-time ministry. In fact, we had three people leave full-time ministry positions to come to be part of a church plant. It was pretty amazing. So
when people
started saying yes, it was like God was saying, I got you.
That
got
gave you the confidence to take the step.
It did. And it also freaked me out. I mean, I said, Jody, I can't screw this up now. People are actually leaving and selling their homes and agreeing to be part of this church plant. And I have no idea what I'm doing. So
how many families made the move with you?
Yeah. So it was probably six families. And so 12 adults total and eight kids. So 20 people made the move from Sioux Falls to Omaha in the summer of 2017, the summer / fall of 2017, to be a part.
Okay, so now you know, okay, God's directing. He wants me to go to the Omaha area, start this church. What were some of the initial hurdles? I mean, besides getting people to go with you and getting your wife to come on board and everything that God set in motion, but what were some other hurdles once you arrived?
What hurdles? I thought it was smooth sailing after God made it clear.
It was, you know, everything was set up. People were waiting for us. Yeah. I mean, there was a welcoming party. A building was there.
Finally.
A congregation was just sitting there. Yeah, there was a few hurdles. I didn't know anybody. I knew zero people. It's not like, well, I've got a family here and a family there. We're going to... Nobody. And my wife had no job. You know, wow. She leaves this job of 17, 18 years. Kids are starting a new school. We're living in an apartment, which, my gosh, you talk about going backwards in your walk with Jesus.
Whoa. We live in an apartment.
I'm going to say some extra prayers for you guys. I can't. Our kids were so loud stomping around.
We only have one, so.
We only have one. It's a little easier for us.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a little easier.
It was, that almost broke us right there. So the hurdles were just meeting people and getting people to buy into the vision. Like, they don't know me. Most churches that start and plant fail. Getting momentum and getting people on board to buy into the vision. And that happened little by little, bit by bit. I mean, we started in a house basement. You want to talk about hard to build momentum. People started to come to this house and it just started to organically, just started to grow. So it was slow going. I don't want to sugarcoat it. It's still the hardest thing I've ever done.
So eventually, and I know I'm probably skipping over a lot of steps here, but eventually you started meeting at an event center.
We did.
And so that meant you went in every, Sunday morning, set everything up. You had things that were yours, but nowhere to store them.
Yes.
So you had a trailer.
Yep.
Right?
And that's sound equipment. That's everything, right? You're setting it up every morning?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They call it church in a box.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. So we got a trailer. We had equipment. The church that helped plant us helped purchase some of the stuff in our trailer, speakers, production equipment, worship equipment, but kids ministry stuff. Our kids ministry is our most important ministry. So all of our kids ministry stuff, you know, we get there at 6:30 in the morning and church wasn't until 9. And so we spend 2 hours unloading a trailer, setting everything up.
You had momentum. You went from a church basement to meeting in this event center. You got equipment. You got everything in this trailer. Things are looking good, right?
Yeah, momentum was definitely there. We'd already had people give their lives to Jesus Christ before we even launched. So yeah, we had momentum. I remember after the first week we launched, we get done and we tear everything down and we're like, you know what? crap, we got to do this again next week. You
know, it's all going back up.
I'll see you next Sunday at 6:30. And it's like, you know, so it's
an adjustment.
It is.
So how long were you doing that before something actually happened to that trailer?
I want to say it was roughly 2 years, I think. Launched in 2017, so a couple years. And then all of a sudden, I had a...
You got a phone call.
Actually, the guy showed up at my front door.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So one day I'm sitting there at my house and the doorbell rings. I open it. It's a sheriff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what did my kids do now? You know, or my wife. Yeah.
That apartment living.
You got to watch out for your wife.
That apartment living was really bad.
Yeah,
right?
It was. It really took a toll on us. So this sheriff is at my house and he says, you know, hey, do you own a trailer? And I'm like, no, I don't own a trailer. He says, well, are you Meadows Church? Because the address was tied to my house.
Oh, right.
Since we don't have church home permanent. I said, oh yeah, we have a church trailer. We store at the, you know, the Beardmore Event Center in Bellevue. He said, okay, well, I just need to tell you that your trailer is on fire in Council Bluffs.
Wow.
It was just, I don't know. It was like time stood still. I call some of the leaders in the church and our church had been stolen and was on fire in Council Bluffs. And me and one of my leaders, the next day we go to the tow yard in Council Bluffs where it is. And there I see it. Well, it didn't look much like a trailer. I mean, it was a frame with ash.
So what are you feeling in that moment?
It's surreal. I there's a lot of emotions, panic, anger, fear. But I'll tell you something. In the back of my mind, I knew, you know, I was an addict. I'm like, whoever did that, they're not the enemy. I know who the enemy is. I'm very aware. I just, in the back of my head, I'm like, I wonder if it was somebody who was just like me. Someone who's desperate, messed up. Maybe addiction has turned them into somebody they're not. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's a problem at home. Who knows? But I just know that there's more to that story. And the next day when we went to that trailer, me and a guy at the church, we filmed a little video on our phone. It was really a message to the people that had done it. Not a message like, oh my gosh, we're gonna. No, it was a message of love and hope. God had to reel me back. I was angry. I was like ticked. There's always more to the story, right? Hurting people hurt people.
Yeah.
So it's a 2-minute video. And I really just said, hey, here's our church trailer. This is what happened. But I said, I don't know, maybe the people that did this, maybe you're watching right now. I just need to know that you are loved. We care about you. We'd love to have you at church sometime. Letting people know what happened, number one. And letting the people who had done it, if they ever see that video, they know that we don't hold that against them and that we love them and that we'd like to see them in our church someday.
Right.
Now, after I filmed that video, in the back of my head, I thought, there's no chance. I mean, I meant everything I said in that video. We would love to meet them someday. God would love to have them grace the doors of Meadows Church. But in the back of my head, I mean, that's not going to happen. I mean, all the people, hundreds of thousands of people in Omaha, there was just no way. I call my home church, my pastor, and I say, my gosh, last night, you're not going to believe this, our church trailer. And here's what he says to me. We will pack a trailer and we'll have stuff to you by the weekend.
Mm. Wow.
First thing he said.
I have to think, you're looking at the situation. As a pastor, I just have to think, man, going through your mind, 6 families uprooted their lives and came with you. You've invested and you're seeing 80, 90 people coming and help setting up every week. And it's hard, but it's growing. And now all of a sudden, it had to have felt like, did I really hear God right? Was I really supposed to come to Omaha?
Did you have moments like that?
Well, I did. But I'll tell you that fortunately, I knew opposition was going to be coming. I didn't know it would come in the form of a trailer that was burnt to the ground. But we knew opposition would come. And by that time, when that happened, we were seeing life change was happening every weekend, not just on Sundays, because church, we know, just isn't a Sunday morning. It's anytime we're out being the church. But we were seeing so much life change. I really am praying to God because internally, yes, I was like deflated many nights. I'm sitting there thinking, what in the heck? Now we got to do all this and raise this and do this. Back of my mind, I knew that I couldn't let that side, my leader, see that side. And it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. But I'm like, we're going to use this. We're going to use this. You know how the word of God says, what the devil meant for evil, God's going to use for good. Mm-hmm. So that was really our battle cry. This is stuff. Stuff comes and stuff goes. And here's the thing. This was never the church in the first place. The trailer was never the church. The stuff was never the church. And we are the church. So that's really what we tried to build this momentum and say, you know what? This isn't a bad thing. This is a great thing. We hope our next trailer is burnt to the ground. No, we don't. But we really tried to say, and not just try, but I really felt like, okay,
have
God's
faith.
In this. Yes. If we truly believe the word of God and what he says is true, then in all things he works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, right? We can either read it and just talk about it or post it, or we can truly believe it. And God really, me as the leader, he really called me to the carpet and said, are you going to believe it? Are you just going to read it and preach it? Or are you going to live it? Hmm. And I remember thinking, okay, God, let me think about it. I said, we're going to live it. This is crazy. But that moment, that trailer, it was a catalyst for us. It really took us to another level, because instead of draining our faith, which maybe in the moment it did, ultimately for our church, it became this, oh my gosh, we're bigger than stuff. And it taught right. our church, the church isn't stuff. The church isn't equipment.
So you found the trailer. Everything was destroyed, right?
It was a frame. I mean, the metal from the trailer had melted off the trailer. It was, I mean, it was that hot. There was the frame and ash. Here's what's crazy. So we're looking through it, and we see some frames from chairs from kids ministry, and but everything else is just really just rubble. I remember looking down, and there's this pile of black ash, but right in the center of the pile of ash is our prayer cross. And I almost missed it because it was so charred and black, so it blended right in. The prayer cross used to be white and beautiful, and now it was black and charred. I hold up the cross, and I'm like, check this out. Now, and that wasn't the only thing. Close to that cross, we found a Bible. All that was burnt on the Bible were the fringes. The wow. pages intact. Again, metal burnt off the trailer. It was so hot. The Bible's opened up to Proverbs. Actually, that Bible today is at my home church at Celebrate in Sioux Falls in a glass case. So they, as they talk about how they planted metals, they can get a reminder of the power, the goodness, the grace of God. So it's still there. I just saw it when I was back preaching not that long ago.
God just reminding you that he's there. Yeah. In the midst of the turmoil.
And some things remain after everything else has melted away.
The reason the trailer was burned is because stuff was stolen, right? And they wanted to get rid of fingerprints and stuff like that.
Yeah,
is that-
exactly. So yeah, that's what I asked the police officer. I said, why not just steal the stuff and leave the But he explained, many times what happens is when stuff like that is stolen, they'll take the expensive stuff they can sell or whatever, make some money from. And then whatever they don't see as valuable, they'll just burn it up. So then there's no fingerprints, there's no evidence.
Well, the guy that burned that trailer is in this room.
Hello.
There is a huge story. We want to hear Mike's side of the story, what was going on in his life, what brought him to that point of burning that trailer, and we'll hear more of the story tomorrow.